When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and indeed the Holy Spirit of God says to you and to me tonight, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, what did he mean? Now tonight in this gospel meeting, which is about our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself on the cross of Calvary for sinful humanity, and indeed for his church, we are going to share a tremendous truth tonight from the Word of God. And it is just simply this. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, one of the greatest tragedies that I have had the privilege of seeing in the Christian church in many parts of the world is that we have many people with an intellectual faith which has no heart experience or life expression. Just to illustrate briefly what I mean, my dear old dad was a character of a man, but he was a man, one of the whitest men I've ever met. And I remember once working with him when he was working for the Cumnock Shire Council. And it was back in 1950. I'd come back from way up north from breaking in horses and doing some rodeo riding. And I wanted a job, and I got a job with him on the council. And it was flood time. And a lot of the rivers and gullies were in flood, and the causeways were flooded. And I can still see my dear old dad with a big sharp lips. And he's pulling people out of the flood water as they drive into it to stall their cars. And I remember this very young, well-meaning engineer. Lot of head knowledge. And my dear old dad tried to tell him not to drive his car into the flood water as it would stall, but he wouldn't listen. And he drove it full bore into the flood water. And when he got into the middle of where the causeway was, motor stalled. Then he started to tell my dad in intellectual terms what to do. And I can still see my dear old dad. He just opened the door of that car and pulled that bloke out, and he threw him under the water half a dozen times. And he said, now, he said, you might know what flood water's all about. It's sad, but it's true. There are many in the Christian church who have an intellectual faith, but they have no heart experience of God or life expression. And you know, the New Testament church and its teaching know nothing of this so-called Christianity. As a matter of fact, the New Testament only teaches a faith that functions and believes and behaves. And throughout the Bible, the gospel is ever presented in depth, demanding both personal acceptance and practical application. And before us tonight in this gospel meeting, we will look at how these divine imperatives work out in the life and conduct of those who truly believe. Firstly, there is the personal acceptance of the gospel. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And that phrase, the word of Christ, the Logos, means that which is spoken by Christ or spoken of Christ. And in either case, the thought is that of the revealed word of the gospel. And so every preacher is justified in presenting the verse in this way. Let the word of the gospel of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There has to be an acceptance of the gospel. There has to be an acceptance of the Logos. And when there is, then all the other follows on. Now, for us to understand the message of the gospel at all, there has to be the entrance of the gospel of Christ. The entrance, that word, that Logos, has to find entrance into our lives. And so Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. And the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 130, says, the entrance of God's word gives light. And the principle here is simply this. Before there can be an evangelistic response, there has to be an opening of the heart to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. There has to be an opening of the heart to receive the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the book of Acts will tell you that some 3,000 people were saved and added to the church. But will you notice, Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So when the entrance of the Logos comes into our life, it's only the beginning. There has to be the act of obedience, as there was in the early church. And these new converts, these new believers, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is what the apostles taught. They were in fellowship. There was the breaking of bread, and there was a prayer meeting. And they are all the essential ingredients for growth. Now, 1989 holds an exciting year for you. You can either bomb it, or you can make it. We can come to this time next year, and you can be further behind than you were when we started the year, if you choose to be. But you can grow spiritually, and you can grow dynamically, and you can be out serving the Lord and winning others to Christ if you are prepared to do so. Now, in simple language, to receive the gospel of Christ is in fact to receive the Christ of the gospel. And when this is done, there will be the enthronement of the gospel of Christ. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to speak about the enthroned Christ, and next Sunday night, the enthroned Christian. And I would encourage you not to miss either of those addresses. Paul says, let this word of Christ dwell in you. And the word in the Greek means settled residence, and suggests rulership and sovereignty. And Paul is speaking here in this scripture about Christ, the anointed one, that is, anointed as the prophet, the priest, and the king. And beloved people, it is impossible to accept the gospel without accepting the prophetic message of Christ, appropriating the priestly sacrifice of Christ, and acknowledging the kingly authority of Christ. Now tonight in this gospel meeting, you are being called to total commitment to Christ and to His Lordship and to His kingship. And this year I'm going to hammer, by God's grace, total commitment. There is no way in the world that God is going to bless us until we become totally committed to prayer, totally committed to the Lord, totally committed to His church, totally committed to the meetings of the church, and totally committed to one another. You know, the thing that I marvel about in the church is the lack of total commitment. Why, when I was in the Masonic Lodge, we were more committed to the lodge than Christians are committed to the church. When I attended AA for a number of years, I was committed, and I saw more commitment in Alcoholic Anonymous than I see in the Christian church. Wouldn't you agree? Sad but true. But then, what must the commitment be? It must be a total commitment to the Lordship of Christ. And it must be a total commitment to the kingship of Christ. You see, it is when you are totally committed that you will understand the emancipation of the gospel of Christ. That means the freedom of it. You will understand what it means to be set free. And you will be set free, and you will fear no man, no woman. You will only fear Christ. And Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, the word richly here is translated abundantly. It's not richly at all. The Greek is on the board for you. And it's only used three times in the New Testament. The first was used in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where Paul speaks of the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, just as the washing of the Spirit regenerates and renews abundantly, so the Word of Christ emancipates the believing soul, that is, sets it free. And it is through the Word, the Logos, that the Holy Spirit works. And the other New Testament reference is in 2 Peter 1:11, where the Apostle Peter speaks of an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is, that final release from earth's bondage into the glorious liberty of heaven itself. So this particular Greek word is very unique. You read it in your English translation as richly. It's not richly at all. In the Greek, it means abundantly, but it means more than that. It means to overflow abundantly. And it has to do with only three great truths. The Word of God dwelling in you, the Holy Spirit regenerating you, and your entrance into the kingdom of God. Now I ask you, how is the believer set free? We are abundantly and richly liberated by the entrance and enthronement of the Logos in our hearts. When we talk about the Word of God, we are talking about the Logos. And Christ said in John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, my Logos, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me say something to you lovingly tonight in fear of being misunderstood. What you have here is a Bible. You have the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the written Logos. But if the written Logos does not become the living Logos, it's only a piece of literature. It's only a piece of literature. And beautiful literature. The poetic literature and the prose in it is magnificent. The history in it is better than any historian could ever write. No wonder the scripture says to hide the Logos in your heart. In your heart. Should we be persecuted before this year ended and put in jail and wasn't allowed to have a Bible? Would we survive as Christians? Would we? Let me say to you, I hope you would. I know I would. Because I've memorized great passages of Scripture. I've memorized great stories of the Scripture. And I want to tell you the best way to learn the Word of God is to buy a set of tapes and play it as you drive your car in your tape recorder. I've got the whole of the Bible on record. 90 hours. It only takes 90 hours to read the Bible. It takes 90 hours to hear someone else read it. 90 hours. What's 90 hours? But when you read the Word and the Word becomes the living Word, the Logos, in your heart, it is there. And no matter whether you are imprisoned or what happens to you, the Logos will always be with you. Always. But will you notice that Paul says the indwelling of the Word must be in all wisdom. That is, truth must not be received in fragments, but in fullness. And tonight in this gospel meeting, let me ask you this question. Have you ever personally accepted the gospel of Christ and the Christ of the gospel? That was one of the greatest heartaches I had in evangelism. Many people would receive the gospel of Christ, but they never received the Christ of the gospel. Can you claim that the Word has had entrance and enthronement and emancipation in your own experience? If not, you have not truly believed with all your heart and your mind and your will. And then secondly, there is the practical application of the gospel of Christ. Paul says, let that Word, that Logos of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching. Now that word in Greek, teaching, is a very interesting word. It means instruction. You see, we have this thought of instruction and training. And as we read verse 16 to 25 of Colossians 3, we see that the gospel touches every area of our lives.